Welcome to Gleaning and Gathering. My name is Eric Heimlich, and I'm your host today. And today I'd like to talk to you about the topic of what kind of leader you're becoming. You know, John Maxwell defines leadership as influence. And if you define leadership as influence, then all of us really are leaders in one way or another. As a leader, what kind of leader are we becoming? That's the question. You know, all of us are changing and developing constantly. The books that we read, the people that we talk with, the things that we experience, all those things are shaping us, they're influencing us, and having an effect on the way that we see the world. And so the question is not if you're going to be influenced, it's what are you going to be influenced by? And then how are you going to be influencing others? That's the question. So again, it's not a matter of whether or not we are leaders. All of us are. The question is, what kind of leaders are we going to be? A while back, I was working on my goals and trying to think through what it is that I want to see accomplished. What are the things that I want to be working on in this year? And I think one of the tensions when you're setting goals is that there's what you hope you can do, and then there's the reality or the realistic expectation of what you can do. But then there's also the deeper down, further back issue of who you are as a person. And I determined this year, before doing my goals, to write down what kind of leader I would like to be. And I'd like to share that with you. I wrote, "I am a leader who takes care of his team, who bears the burdens and makes the hard choices. I want to focus on doing small things well. I want to build a solid foundation upon which others can build. I want to make time for my family. I want to be kind. I want to be helpful and to add value to the world in the place that God has given me to serve. I want to live out of the overflow, not the bottom of the tank. I always want there to be more in the stockroom than there is showing in the display window. I want my relationship with God to guide all that I do. I want to grow in wisdom. I want to be a trustworthy friend, husband, and father." You know, that list really highlights what I'm hoping will become a reality in my life, and that is that I can live out of being rather than just doing. You know, one of the things that I wrote this year is, instead of just writing that I would like to complete this book that I'm working on and have been for the last 5 years, I wrote, I want to create a rhythm of writing so as to complete these books. And again, if I see myself as a writer, and if I'm creating a rhythm of writing, the writing will get done. And I think that's a subtle change, but I think it's an important change. I think a lot of times as leaders, we're forced into thinking about doing constantly. And so as a result, that focus takes us away from considering the issues related to being, the issues related to fundamentally who we are. And so what you begin seeing is that a leader may start really well because of charisma, because of personality and giftings. People put them in a position. And so for a while, you can ride on that. But then as you go further, you find that what got you where you're at is not going to get you where you're going, as one writer wrote. And so there's increased pressure there. And if the foundation is not solid, pretty soon those stress cracks begin to form. And as the pressure continues to build, unless there's work on the leader in really shoring up and developing himself and in managing himself, he's headed for trouble. And so for me, one of the ways that I'm endeavoring to do that is to date my wife on a weekly basis and to plan a weekend getaway for us at least 2 times a year. You know, it may sound easy. It's like, it's a little bit like God's command in Scripture, husbands, love your wives. Of course, yes. And yet, it requires intentionality. Because if you're really going to do that, everything is going to come against it. Everything is going to resist that effort. And so it takes intentionality. It takes pushing back. It takes saying no. Because when the phone rings and, yeah, you could do this other thing, the easiest thing in the world to do is to say no to those that you love the most. In doing that, it works for a while. But what are the long-term implications of that? And so I think it's a great example of the bigger issue, and that is, are we putting the big rocks in first? Another thing that I have in my goals for this year is to build the relationship with each child by having a weekly meeting with them and listening well. We call it daddy time. It's not that I never spend any other time with my children, but I want there to be at least some one-on-one time in each one of their lives. I want them to know me as their father, and I want to build my relationship with them, not by me telling them stuff, but by me listening well to them and to their heart. And it's amazing the things you hear when you are quiet and you actually listen. I think all of us think we know our kids, but I think there's a whole lot more going on there with every one of them than we could possibly understand or realize. And again, those are significant relationships for me. Yeah, there's hundreds of friends and lots of people that swirl around in my life, but there are six little people that call me daddy. And being there for them and being an active, involved part of their lives is something that I don't want to take for granted. Another one is improving my health and feeling better by exercising 4 times a week, eating more fruit, vegetables, fish, less sugar, starch, and meat. Again, am I going to die because I ate that Big Mac? Probably not. At least not today. But the reality is that those choices, those little choices each and every day are shaping who I am becoming physically and emotionally. And that same idea is true spiritually. Am I feeding my heart and my soul with things that will cause me to grow healthy and strong? Or am I just feeding on junk food and grabbing a soda every now and again and just thinking everything's going to be okay? Improving my health and feeling better is important to me because, you know, I'm in that stage of life right now, almost 45 years of age, where if I don't pay attention to some of this stuff 10 years from now, and especially 20 years from now, I'm going to have to pay attention to it. And so if I want to use the ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure idea, right now is the time to think about it. And not 10 years from now, when now the only options really are medicine or surgery or something worse. So right now, doing that is something that's important. And so putting a rhythm in my life that makes that a reality is something that's helpful. So for me, most of the time, my day starts somewhere between 4 and 4:30. And I get up, spend time with Jesus, and take time for my soul. And then after that, I have some time where normally I'm working on a project, writing this podcast. See, right now it's 5:45 in the morning. The next thing that I do is head to the gym. I spend about an hour there. Come back 7 o'clock. I have prayer with my team here at Victory Acres, and we study scripture. Right now we're working through Genesis, and then we pray together. That time lasts for about half an hour, and then I come home, and I normally have breakfast with Rochelle, and a lot of times she has it on the table ready for me at 7:30, which is a blessing. And then we share together and look at our day together and finish that time by praying together. And then I get ready normally by listening to music or listening to a podcast or something else that feeds my heart. And while I'm getting ready, using that time to grow my mind as well. And then hopefully in the office a little before 8:30 and ready to start my day. And for me, the most productive hours of my day are really between 8:30 and 12:30. And so I try to put the work that I need to do the most, the things that I need to focus on the most during that time, And then during the afternoon, generally physical labor of some kind here on Victory Acres, whether that's turning logs into lumber, whether that's working with my team on various projects, whatever needs to be done. Just trying to change out of my dress clothes into my work clothes and spend the afternoon working on that. And then in the evening, I really try after 5 o'clock, I have an alarm goes off that says this is your shutdown ritual time, and then look at my schedule for the following day. What is it that I need to be prepared for, focusing on, if there's any appointments that I need to confirm, anything that I need to do that way. And I try to be done out of the office by 5:30 and take time then in the evening to focus on my family. On Tuesday evenings, we have hospitality night, and so normally that's the night where we would invite people in. On Thursday evenings, we have a Bible study here at our home, and so we eat supper together, and we share our home together with the gathering. But then Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we endeavor to try to keep for family time. And so for me, that's kind of the rhythm of my life, and generally that means that I'm headed off to bed by 8:30 or 9 o'clock. I endeavor to be in bed by 9 o'clock so that I can get a good night's sleep. And that's what a day looks like for me. That's not every day. There are plenty of times where I'm traveling or things are different than that. But having a rule of life that has a rhythm to it and that emphasizes being over doing for me is important. Because at the end of the day, I really do want to be a person and a leader who is living not just out of the bottom of the tank, but living out of the overflow, and that has something to share with others when they come knocking at my door. You know, there are lots of challenges to that. And again, everything comes against that. As Mike Tyson said, everybody has a plan until they get hit in the mouth. You've got life happening. And so if you're going to be intentional, if you're going to take time for those things that matter, you are going to have to make time for it. It's not going to just happen. I've never met anyone who said, you know, I don't know how I did it, but I just lost 65 pounds. I mean, it just like fell off. I don't know what happened. I've never met that person. I've never met anybody who said, you know, I don't know why. I've just got this amazing marriage and I have no idea how I got it. It's work. It takes work. I've never met anything worth doing that wasn't challenging or that wasn't resisted. But I do think that it comes down to what are we going to invest our time in? All of us have 24 hours in our day. All of us have 7 days in our week. And so the question is, how are we going to use them? And are we going to be the kind of people that live out of the overflow, or are we going to be living out of the bottom of the tank? I always want to be someone that has more in the stock room than there is in the showroom window. But I've met a lot of leaders who live the other way around. Everything is in the showroom window. And what you get to know when you get to know them is that there is nothing in the stock room. And that's a dangerous place to be. And so if you're a young leader right now and you're running on charisma and you're running on, yeah, I've always been able to just get up there and wing it and make it happen. I have a word for you. You better deepen your well, because it's not going to work. It may be working for you right now, and everybody may think you've got it together and it's okay, and you've managed to bluff your way through to this point. But I'm telling you, life has a strange way of showing up those deficiencies in your system. And Jesus said, the one who hears my word and does it, I'll liken him to a man who built his house on a rock. The floods came, the storms blew, but the house stood. And so if you're going to live in a way that's going to last, then you're going to have to live according to God's plan and doing the things that God has showed us in his word. There's so much rich truth there. And I am always amazed each and every day as I open up God's word and dive into it like a man who needs food to eat and water to drink, how I find for my heart and for my life exactly what I need there. God meets me in His Word. He speaks to me, and He gives me direction, and He helps me know what I need to be careful of. And I wish I could say that I've always stayed as close as I should to that. I haven't. And there have been moments in my life where, you know, I've leaned on my own understanding far too much, and I paid the price for it. But I want to encourage you to dive deep into God's Word. I remember an older Christian brother coming to speak at Union Bible College a few years ago, and one of the things that he said in the class where he shared was the most important thing that you can do is to learn how to grub out a spiritual existence from God's Word, to get something from the Bible to feed your heart each and every day. And at the time I thought, of course, yeah, you know, read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow. Yeah, whatever. Sure, good idea. But the reality is that if we're not careful, our Bible reading time just turns into sermon preparation time. And rather than really taking time to feed our heart and to become happy in the Lord and really have a sense of His presence and joy in Him, it just becomes another day at the office. I know, because I've been there. But He was absolutely right. Taking time to really feed our hearts and to make our souls happy in the Lord, as George Mueller says, to grub out a spiritual existence, to make sure that we get something for our soul to eat each and every day that will feed our hearts, is absolutely the most important thing that you can do. Because if you don't, you're going to end up a starving leader who has pressures that continue to come at you. And pretty soon, you are going to be like a deer in the headlights. There's all this stuff. There's all these things. And it's just not working anymore. I know that maybe it's not the most encouraging word. All of us have met those leaders. And all of us have heard those stories of those who, after years involved in ministry and years involved in ministry activities, have crashed and burned. And I don't want you to be a statistic. And friends, I don't want to be a statistic either. And I don't believe we need to be. By God's grace, He has power to keep us and to help us and to guard us and to guide us. But we have a part in this. And part of what we need to do is to discipline our hearts. Those are my thoughts for today. I hope it's a help to you. For Gleaning and Gathering, God bless.